what we do at Paloma is what we would do at home. It's the food we would eat at home. It's how we would decorate our home. So we do what we really love for ourselves. And then I think people can feel that it's not a business idea that we had. It's just kind of manifesting a way of living.
Welcome to your heavenly refuge, a space to unwind your mind, slow down your rhythm, and fill your whole body up with inspiration.
Dreaming with open eyes, being in another world. Don't know what's truth or lie, all these stories that you've heard. Having difficulties to speak, because they seem so far away. It is time to be awake, got important things to say.
This podcast will nourish you with the stories from beautiful creators and entrepreneurs who have already made a change in their life using their gifts to walk their talk. Welcome again. My name is Oyana Galor-Dual, yoga teacher and nutrition consultant, enthusiastic about bringing the stories of people that share their unique blueprint with the world. In this episode of Ibiza Refuge for Dreamers, we are getting into conversation with two of the creators of Paloma Restaurant. This full moon of May is a good time to listen to the inspirational stories of a mom and a daughter who co-created a dream together, a feminine lineage who is nourishing the bodies and souls of the community here on the island. It is personally a precious episode for me, as the guests are very close to my heart and we have witnessed each other evolution during the last decade. Let me make the introductions. Prasuna is the chef behind the food and team of Paloma Restaurant. She was living in an Osho community for many years before manifesting her dream and continues building community around her every day. She's a mom and a grandmother, and she's always caring about her close family and the wider Paloma family around the globe. Muy is her daughter. She is the co-creator together with Amit Sambegan Prasuna of this restaurant, and she is a part of the Paloma management team. She is the graceful present who many times is there to welcome you when you go for dinner. She is an essential part of creating the unique style of Paloma Restaurant, and she is also a very talented singer who last month released Lua Azul, which is available to listen in Spotify and SoundCloud. How are you today?
I'm very good and a little emotional to be here.
How are you, Muji?
Very good and happy to be here with you today.
I'm also very happy. I usually start the podcast asking the guests to share an important shifting point in their lives. Who'd like to start?
I'm just thinking is when my daughter, Muji, told me that she was pregnant of my first grandson. And from that moment, my life just changed.
In which way? Can you tell us more?
Well, I left the community where I was spending my time since 20 years, and I came to be close, the more is possible close, to this amazing event of my life. And I just want to support in a way.
It sounds like your family lineage was calling you, even if you were in another family. In your community life, it looks like you felt a very strong call to be close to your daughter and your feminine lineage at that point in time.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even if at that moment I could not see so clear, like you said right now, from in that moment for me was just my heart that was telling me, I go. Wow. I just go. So there start everything, basically.
Did you have any resistance to follow your heart and leave the community to support your daughter?
Well, I would not call it resistance. I would call more difficulty that I start to face. But in a way, I just realize now that they have been also part of my growing and part of who I am today. So it has been part of my evolution. Let's put it like this. No resistance. When, you know, the decision was very clear for me.
And what about you, Muji? Which turning moments in your life would you like to talk about?
It's not easy because there are so many points in life that define where I am today. And I remember arriving to the island and coming out from the plane and just smelling the air here and saying, yes, this is it. And I felt this very special energy that I can still feel today.
This feeling you described is something that many people experience when they just arrive to the island. How did your connection to Ibiza evolve during the years? That?
Yes, I think it evolved. My love for this island has evolved like my adult life. Like every couple of years, I maybe, you know, sit and check, do I still want to be here? Do I still feel at home here? And the truth is that, yes, I feel every day when I go out and drive the car and the campo and see the seasons changing and the different lights and flowers and even the chaos of summer, like, it's just always brings me to that gratefulness for living in a place that I love so much.
Yes, and coming back to your answer before, Prasuna, what would you underline from your times in the Osho community?
The main thing is to meet Osho and to be nourished by his profound wisdom. And then to start. Actually, it's not true that I start my spiritual path with Osho. No, of course, it has been start much before. When I started to be with Osho, I was 27. And I was somehow born in a community. My mother and my father were part of a Christian community, but Christian in a very nice way. They were really going deep to the Bible. And I just put this out because they also are my roots for the love for food that I still carry myself. My mother was an amazing cook, and she was very often cook for 25 people, yeah, very spontaneously, because it was a community and many people came from all over Italy to meet Don Luigi Rosadoni, that he was this writer and amazing charismatic Christian priest. And my mother was cooking in this community, and my father was really his, his brother, you know, in this. And they knew each other since the war. My father was a partisan, and Don Luigi Rosadoni as well. Okay. And so it's quite. and there, I was so fascinated by my mother putting in the table from nothing. Yeah. Amazing food that everybody loved, me included, you know, even if I was a child. And my mother died quite early. So then in somehow I heritage this gift, and I'm very still grateful for my mother, Luisa, because I can feel her in the even in the plate today in Paloma, you know, like a spirit angel guide. Then with the community, for me, has been an amazing story to start to look inside myself. And sometimes very, very uncomfortable, and but excited, because I really want to go, and I'm still in this arriving. I want to arrive to the truth of myself, and you know, and keep going to watch my false personality, my ego, and the community. 20 years really, let's say, teach me how to do this in the daily life as well, while you clean a toilet, while you're cooking, or while you're organizing, whatsoever. So.
So important to integrate these spiritual experiences in our daily lives. And Muji, how was for you to be born and raised in an Osho community? And which disadvantages would you name from those times?
So it was for sure a, you know, a special experience. I have some funny moments, like there was a lot of you know, therapy groups going on in the commune, and so I would go like down for breakfast in the, you know, in the hall, in the eating hall where we all had food, and we didn't have chairs, you know, we sat on the floor in the beginning, at least, of the community. And I don't remember this, but apparently one day I went in and said, why can't we have chairs like normal people, you know? So for sure, I think it was now I see it gave me a lot of you know, opportunity to grow in a different way, and it shaped a lot of who I am today. But I think then at some moments it was not so easy, because first of all it was very isolated, and also there weren't other kids. There was sometimes some kids passing through, but I was like the only child there, and I remember also getting really bored. And then also when school age came, there was no school, so I was going to school to the little village very close to the commune, which was a very narrow-minded kind of Italian village. So, and I was this like weird kid coming from a commune, all in orange, and I felt a bit, you know, out of place there in the school and this. So I think, but again, I think it really shaped me, you know, and made me strong. And then also the second part of my childhood, I went to more like a normal school. I was living with my father normal is not such a nice word, but it was more like a normal childhood, the second half.
More like in a town?
Yeah, still in the countryside, but in a town, and kind of more going to school and having like friends and yeah, mainstream kind of. So in a way, I kind of had half childhood in one way and half in another. And then around 14, we went to Pune with my mom, and we were supposed to stay 1 month. And then after 1 month, she went back to Italy, and I said, I am not going back. And so instead of going back and going to school, I stayed and then started traveling and arrived to Ibiza eventually 4 or 5 years later. So I had a really special experience in growing up in such a different way.
And how was Pune for you?
Pune was super fun for me as a teenager. Was like a lot of parties and a lot of social life, and there was many kids my age. And then we were going to Goa. That's how I arrived here from there, and a lot of people started to come to Ibiza then.
Did this bittersweet relationship you had to community living made you express your rebel side at an earlier stage in your life?
Yeah, I think we all need to rebel in our own way, who more, who less, you know, to then discover who we really are. But for me, the rebellion was coming from a too much freedom, and I needed more structure. So it came the opposite. I guess most people need to rebel from the structure into freedom. And for me, it was more about, I think I needed to experience the more structured way of a family. And that's why also I had kids probably, I mean, now that I look back, I think that's why I had kids so young and started a family at 21. Yes. And because I needed to experience that, probably. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Yeah.
You were saying that from Pune you came to Ibiza when you were 17, and around 20 you had your first child. I know this was a main shifting point for you both.
For sure was a big shifting point. And that's also when I, you know, reached out to my mom to come, and because I could also see that for her maybe the commune experience was coming to an end. And, you know, I was quite overwhelmed of being so young and getting pregnant. And so I thought, you know, I called her and I said, you know, I'm pregnant, and she came. So yeah. That was, I think, the beginning of what's
from
now.
What I understand, it happened simultaneously that Prasuna was already feeling that her time in the community was coming to an end, and you were getting pregnant with your first child. What made a mom and a daughter venture in business together?
I think it was mainly the necessity to both of us to have a life in a normal. Until that moment, I have been, let's say, protect from the commune, because I even did not have a bank account. You know, the commune was providing everything. So has been such a challenge to be out in the world without a real sense of reality, you know, and somehow many other things, but not that. So I was lucky because I have been invited by somebody that Muji introduced to me to do a chef in a restaurant in Milano that just started to open. And for me, this has been the first experience as a chef in a normal restaurant. Then another one followed in Ibiza when I arrived. And this experience has been quite strong for me. And see how it was working in the restaurant, I was really not happy. So this really make my wish, my desire, my heart was really looking for a place where I can somehow integrate all that I absorb, be with Osho for 20 years in a manifestation in the world, normal one, let's say it. And my dream was to do with my daughter and to support her life. At that point, she already had another child, the second one, and it was 2003. Yeah, and La Paloma arrived as a magic thing in 2000, at the beginning of 2004, we found this place.
Mm. I'd like to hear more about the experience of manifesting a restaurant with a very tight budget. How did you do it? Where did the funds come from?
I think it was a magic the way it got created, because we definitely had no funds at all. And we were looking into getting loans from the bank, and it was not easy because none of us owned anything. And, you know, the bank kind of say, who are you for us? You know, we had no, as my mom said, no history in the... And there are many stories, and it's, I think it's a long story to go deep into details. But for sure, one of the things that really helped is the community here. There were, and they're still here, there are some, let's say, Paloma angels out there, and they know who I'm talking about, that really helped us in the beginning. It was really about... You know, can you maybe help us with 1,000 euros? Can you just to start? And so, and also we started without buying everything that we needed. You know, there was, the place was very beautiful, but very run down. And instead of, you know, we couldn't just renovate everything because we just didn't have the funds. So at that time... my mom was a very good friend with Rolf Blackstedt, and the father, who sadly passed away. And he gave us the idea or the advice to paint everything in light blue, and actually told us exactly which light blue to use and which kind of paint. And said, this will look amazing because the place is beautiful, but it's very dark inside. And so all these old tables that were there and these old chairs just got painted, you know, by us, basically us and Amit and Samvega. Like, we were all sitting and just painting these chairs. And then also, yeah, just remembering how everybody supported us in into opening this. And also he, Rolf Blackstedt, had this dream many years before of a paloma, a dove, a white dove, flying over San Lorenzo. And then he said to us, I think you should call it La Paloma. And we were so like, yes, of course. We were so naive. We didn't even check if there are other La Palomas in Ibiza before. We just called it La Paloma. And he painted for us this beautiful sign by hand himself, and made the logo for us that is still there, the sign, today, 17 years later. Just sometimes we need to fix it a little bit, but it's still perfect. So it felt like there was like these angels kind of helping us. And then another angel arrived and helped us with getting the loan from the bank and put the aval for us. And yeah, all these things that if not, and then also we worked very hard ourselves. Like just the family, we were working a lot. And I remember with the beginning was really hard because I had two small babies and, you know, I remember just working and then going home, breastfeeding, coming back. And it was tough. And my mom, you know, who was not super, super young, she was still working in the kitchen like 12 hours, you know, and so it was, we really put our own soul and sweat into this place for sure the first 5-6 years.
And effort. What an honor that Rolf Blackstedt painted the logo. What about the style of Paloma? I think it's something very unique and that attracts many people. Who is behind the colorful and unparalleled style of the restaurant?
Can I answer that? I always say life designed Paloma, because none of us are like interior designers or, you know, we didn't get somebody to help us design. We just, you know, play with what life brought us. And The amazing thing is the garden there is very, very beautiful, and we put a lot of energy there. And so the garden creates a lot of the place. And then it's just about collecting pieces, secondhand, fixing, and then beautiful artists that come to the island and say, oh, can I expose my work there? And just, you know, and then the, you know, the family picture that Jimmy Nelson took. And so I think everything together is what makes the style of Paloma. It's this kind of bohemian feeling, but it's not made up. It's really
true,
like shabby chic in a very real shabby way.
Authentic,
authentic
way.
Not made up.
Especially because we didn't have any money to buy anything precious at that time when we opened. So as Muji said, everything happened by itself, you know. What I can add is that I really want for the food the more is possible ingredients from kilometer zero. The more is possible, and you know, I'm the first one to say that it's not possible all, because as Italian cook, I want the best Parmesan from Italy, I want the best capers, blah, blah, blah. But this has been really a priority for me, even without having money, to build, to start to work for having a vegetable garden, especially for the herbs.
Yeah.
I have a passion for fresh herbs, because for me they are really a very important ingredient. And maybe this too is part of this and of you know of the energy that you breathe when you arrive in Paloma, and also you eat when you have the food, etc., etc.
So as you said, when people enter into the restaurant, they can feel the family vibe among the staff. They can also see the care placed in the vegetable garden. But what makes this restaurant attract such a wide variety of people, from locals to artists to musicians to hippies to famous people?
I also like to say that it's not just us that created Paloma. We also have to say thank you to Amit and to Samvega. That, you know, it's not even us as people. It's, I think, really the combination between all of us, that without all of us together, it couldn't happen. So that I would like also to say.
For sure. And Nir also in the cafe.
And Nir in the cafe, of course.
Sure.
Because now I'm more thinking about the beginning of the adventure. That's why, like, the four of us was there in the beginning. And then later, Nir arrived. And in the beginning, he was working with my mom at night. And after a couple of years, he decided that he wanted also to be more creative and do his own. And so we had this other part of the building that we had never used. And so we made another little kitchen, and he created the Paloma Cafe. And we are together also in this venture, but it's really his baby in the kitchen side, and it's become like such a, so it's almost, it's very special to have two places. They're like two different like a brother and a sister that live together, and they're totally different, but they have the same blood in a way, you know, and the same soul, as in, you know, the same quality of food and the same providers we use. And so that's very special. So I wanted just to make a little introduction about that. And then what was the question
about
again?
The power of attraction that the place has.
The power of attraction that the place has. I think it's what the beautiful thing there is in Paloma, I think, is that everyone can feel at home. So if you come barefoot from a sunset in Benaras, you feel at home. And if you come dressed in a Chanel suit, you also feel at home, and everything in between. I think that's so beautiful, because sometimes, you know, many places are either like really chic or really, or some places are super simple. And I think it's nice when you can combine everything, and I think everyone feels home there and feel that magic, which is actually us just doing what we love. This is like what we would, what we would do, what we do at Paloma is what we would do at home. It's the food we would eat at home. It's how we would decorate our home. So we do what we really love for ourselves.
Yes.
And then I think people can feel that. It's not a, a business idea that we had. It's just kind of manifesting a way of living.
Yes.
And I think people feel that. You know, they feel the soul and in the taste of the flavors of the food.
Yeah.
And also just in the place. So everyone feels home.
Yes, people feel a very...
Or at least we hope everyone. Probably almost everyone.
Yes.
People feel a very authentic flavor there. Thanks for mentioning that Paloma is a co-creation manifested by Amit, Sambegra, Prasuna and yourself, and then Nir, who also joined for the mission in the cafe. I would like to talk about the working team in Paloma. How did you build the team?
Well, I will answer to this question, of course, but I also want to add something what Muji just said. Definitely, we were four to create this place. And Amit has been with his Israeli passion and his amazing creativity, not to look for colorful things to attract artists and things like this. And my sister, Sanvega, she was for me an amazing... grounding, because her knowledge with the numbers, because in the community I never took care of numbers, she did it. In the Osho's community I'm talking about, so it was quite a big thing. And so just to say that, that also for many other things, but one of the things was this very fundamental, because we were kind of, you know, also busy for other things. Okay, so say this is absolutely important to recognize the each one that came brought this a very important piece of Paloma, especially Nir. Also, when he arrived and worked with me in the kitchen, he brought all the flavor of Middle East. And his experience that was much wider than mine. Mine was very, you know, coming from my mother and blah, blah, blah. But, and I love spice. So for me to discover coriander, to make, you know, some plate with cumin that in Italy is absolutely not. But you can. You know, we can fusion, let's say, some something that is base Italian but can have also Middle East or East ingredient inside. Okay. Say this, the stuff, I can only... Muji will talk about the stuff outside. I will talk about the stuff in the kitchen. Yes. And we were really lucky to attract from the beginning... a precious person. His name is Juanito. He's a Romanian. It is a Romanian man. At that time, it was a boy of 19 years old. And by chance, he arrived in Paloma because the owner of the land, that is an Ibisenko, he told me, "Can you please give this guy an opportunity of work? Maybe dishwasher." They say, "Yes, we will need a dishwasher." Of course, I do with pleasure. So Juanito start to be dishwasher. And his presence has been always, for me, very peaceful, cool me down.
Yes.
Because I was very exciting and stressed for doing something, the responsibility of the kitchen to serve everybody. And his presence, even when he was just washing the dish, it was for me like a balsamo. Yes. Is it said balsamo in English? Maybe. Anyway, Juanito now, I just want to say, is the chef of the kitchen because he has my hands. Mm. He learned from that year, slowly, from washing the salad until doing the ravioli and the pasta homemade like my mother used to do. And then on the other side, he also direct the kitchen. We do together, but doesn't matter. Is the person more out in this moment? Also because I have an age that I'm not so much into the fire anymore. And his way is so wise, peaceful, and straight and authentic that in somehow he attract in the kitchen has been always an amazing attraction of
harmony,
beautiful people, harmony. Mm-hmm. The people that work in the kitchen, they almost all are my very close friends with who also I love to hang out, you know, and they are beautiful beings, amazing souls, bringing so much love and ideas. You know, we continuously co-create
together.
Yes. So
I always say that Juanito is the most spiritual person I know without knowing it himself, because he really is like that, but he doesn't talk about meditation or self-love or all these things that now we all talk about so much.
Yes.
He is just being it.
Yes.
And I love that about him. And every time I go in the kitchen, I can feel this energy. And it's very special. And he was always in a good mood and never missed a day of work, and, you know, unless like holidays, but really special person to have.
Wow, so...
And he's been with us since day one, so it's a long time.
So the kitchen of Paloma holds this energy of harmony and peace, which is a very different energy from other kitchens out there.
Yeah, I think the kitchen and also the outside floor that is, you know, managed for a long time from the same people that in the beginning was just waitressing with me.
Yes.
And we didn't even have a manager. And then I was waitressing and I had Sabina, and then Federico arrived, and before that was Esteban that has Kangimo now, and it's we have this I think this family energy all together, because in the end I think family is a word that it's not just the blood family, you know, we have this stereotype in our minds of what is a family, but I feel like all this the crew that we have there is an extended family of our own family. And they probably feel that also, like, I know it, because we speak, we share, and we have many people that have been with us a long time, like Johnny and Kati.
Yes.
And, you know, many, many people that we can really say we are so honored to have on our team. And this is, I think, the core team and the secret of also people feeling again at home there.
And from the colors of the staff of Paloma, I would like to change gears towards sustainability and the commitment that Paloma has towards the environment. Would you like to talk more about the vegetable garden? It's outside, and about the collaboration with Ibiza Preservation Fund.
Well, I can talk about the vegetable garden, and yes, it's not that we can provide all that we need from there, because Paloma now is working lunch and dinner with many, many people. Thanks God. But for sure, we do our best. Especially, I puntualize again the story of the aromatic herbs and the salad. But in these years, they are more and more around organic farm. And they are, at that time when we opened, there was not one. Mm-hmm. So now, I mean, it was just starting 3 years later here in San Miguel, Karen and Tony, but three years later we opened. So that is my passion also in the restaurant. My contribution in the restaurant is to always search for the best product. Yes. So let's say the more is possible, we buy vegetables that are from Ibiza and that are organic. Mm. Very little we can't. Mm. So then when we cannot, we privilege organic, but coming from the Spain, yes, from the continent. But, and this is for me fundamental for creating plate, creating food. Mm-hmm. You know, I see like a good intention to really offer authenticity, yes, you know, and also to sustain mm-hmm. people that around they open farm and doing experiment with organic, biodynamic cultivation, etc., etc. And Mujik.
The collaboration with IPF, I think it came from a wish to with the Ibiza Preservation Fund to give back. Like, because we are very blessed to receive a lot from this island. Mm. So it came just from the wish to give back something and donate €1 per table to an organization that is not something that we don't know really well what they're doing then with the money. Like, it's transparent, it's local,
yes,
it's many friends and people from the island are involved. So it felt right. And I think we've been doing it for the last, I don't know, 7 years, something like that. Mm. And they're doing really beautiful projects, and yes, we love to support that. We also had a sustainability project for Paloma that started in 2019, and then everything got a bit stopped with COVID,
yes,
and obviously it's not been easy this last year with all the restrictions on how to open, when to open. It's been a challenging year, so we had to kind of put that a bit on the side because we needed to put priority on keeping Paloma alive.
Yeah, but on running the business.
But I think it's something that once we go back to, let's say, what we call normality, which again is not a word I use and I like, but I don't find another word right now.
To more movement.
Yeah, to more movement and opening with the hours that we can open and all of that. Mm-hmm. Then I think will be nice to go back to, we had in mind to, you know, recycle the black waters, to use to put filters in, so we could then use that for the irrigation of the the flower garden, okay, and the vegetable garden. But we are also very very aware of plastic use. We try really not to use
super
any plastic, and you know, even for the staff, you know, the water that's drunk, it's not in plastic, it's in glass, and yeah, many little things like that that we really try to pay attention, because when you have a big place,
yes,
you have a big impact on, yes, the environment. So we really try and to recycle and all these things that I think are the minimum we can do.
So important to take care of our environment. I would like to talk about nourishment now. Prasuna, you were talking that cooking runs in your family and that your mom showed you how to cook and how to cook for others. Was her your main influence, or also your travels and meeting other cooks influenced your dishes?
Definitely both. Yeah, I mean, my passion started with my mother.
Yes.
As a very young woman, I was 14. when I start to cook in the house, because she was in that moment she was quite sick and she had to be resting for 1 month without getting out from the bed, and I took over with pleasure her role. I was cooking in the community and she was like guiding me from the bed. So, but definitely for me has been the community, has been everything, because my passion was the food and eating and the taste. And then wherever I was going for traveling, I was always looking, oh, look at what he put here. And then ideas would come. And then also when Nir arrived, you know, for sure I was inspired him, but he inspired for sure me a lot, you know, by all his also different kind of knowledge that mine, etc., etc. And I'm still getting very exciting when I go, I don't know, in a different the place to eat, you know, and to... I just love food. I love to feel the simplicity, authenticity, and the taste, and the good ingredients, and many, many things, you know, that really touch me deeply. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What makes the food in Paloma so tasty and at the same time light? What is the secret?
For sure, good olive oil to cook. I had this amazing suerte, for lucky, when I was on the way to open Paloma, that somebody that he passed away already, he was a friend of Rolf Blackstad, he showed me a very good oil coming from Catalonia.
Okay.
And is an oil that is done because this man, friend of Rolf, was Italian, Mario. And Mario teach them how to make a light oil, not acid. Because it's a way, he was a very good oil maker in Toscana. He win actually prize his oil as the best with in the acidity. So he teach them, and this cooperative, Serra d'Almos in Tarragona, where I still buy the oil with who I cook, they do the oil that is not acid. This is one thing. And definitely the other thing is my experience in India. I learned there to cook with ghee.
Okay.
And the ghee... We prepare ourselves in the kitchen. I teach Juanito at that time how to make it. And we still now, we don't use any butter to cook. I mean, beside the postres, I mean, the dessert. But the risotto, and this the Italian people maybe, they would feel very, how can you put the ghee in the risotto? Actually, we put the ghee in the risotto. And our risotto are very good, and everybody appreciate. And we never put butter when is the time of cooking. And the ghee is very light. Butter is very heavy. Also, I don't use any cream. Very rarely to make sauce.
What made you, from an early stage, have gluten-free dishes and also superfoods in the smoothies in the cafe?
I think first, also to answer to the question before, it's all about the little details. And like my mom was saying about the olive oil and the ghee, and how a little change in just that can make the whole difference in how to feel foods in your stomach. The same way, speaking again about the decoration of Paloma, it's all about the little details and the attention you put to the small things that then make the big picture much easier and look more beautiful and digest better. And I think we had a passion from the beginning for healthy, good food. And when we started, there were not many places that were paying attention to that. So I think from the beginning, you know, I really I always, you know, I remember I was always saying, yeah, I want just a good salad. I can't find anywhere here. Good salad with seeds and with, you know, nice fresh vegetables. And then, yeah. And then also I think I started early to, I had maybe some health issues and I started more looking into diet and into different ways of healing with diet. And then, you know, came across different ways like gluten-free products or superfoods and things that can give you more and still taste good.
Yes, food is so important, but there are also other ways to nourish our souls. Art is one of them. I recall many openings and closing of Paloma that musicians were playing. Was one of your intentions to reach out to the community through art, or was it something that happened spontaneously?
Well, I think we love music. I love music. We all love music. So, and there is a lot of talent here on the island, and we were always very happy to host that there. Sometimes it's not so easy to combine it with the restaurant and with the food, but we love to make space for that too whenever we could. So that was definitely also part of it.
Yes, for sure. We all, each one of us, love music and beautiful things. But for sure also, I just remember in the beginning, one of my work in the community, actually one of my baby, was this music festival in Toscana that I started to run from 1990. So for this 7 years that I was in Toscana, before I left for going to work more in India, I was every year inviting musicians from all over the world. At that time, Miten and Premal, they were not so well known. They were just friends.
Yes.
Prem Joshua was just friend.
Yes.
So then somehow, together with the passion that we all have for music,
yes.
In the beginning, I remember I was inviting Prem Joshua, already famous. In 2005, he went to give a concert to Paloma. And then others, Sanyasin musicians, that they were playing in front of Osho, less famous, but still. Not yet Miten and Premal, but maybe one day they will come, because, we love each other, and who knows, they might come sooner or later.
The restaurant has always been a place that interweaved good food, art, and personal encounters. Last month, Muye, you released this beautiful song, Lua Azul. I'd love that you talk more about that project. Is it a venue that you'd be interested in developing more in the near future?
So singing has always been like a big part in my life. It's the it's what really feeds my soul in a way. Like so it's my way of creatively expressing, and I always, in a way, because of life and having three beautiful kids and the restaurant and how busy everything is, always I felt I don't give enough energy to this part, or all the time I would like to. So this song is a symbolic offering, because I wrote it maybe 3 years ago, and I never actually professionally, I did a few projects here and there, but never professionally recorded a song from beginning to end that I wrote, that then I produced together with Lasse. And, you know, I had the vision of who is going to play there. And so I said, okay, because I think there was always this thing, oh, I should release an album, or I should, And then I thought, okay, I'm just going to start with one song because I need to see that I can do it in a way. So it was kind of like something for me important to close a circle in my life and maybe start something else.
Yes.
And it's been a beautiful process to make it and manifest it. And also then once I released it, this feeling of being like, I felt like I was naked, you know, being kind of exposed and all the emotions it brings. And so, yeah, I'm very happy with it. And it's been a really beautiful learning process. And now I would like to do more. I have some other songs that I wrote that are maybe new to come. And I wish to have more time to put in that.
I wish also you have, or you can make a space for that.
Yeah, find a space for that. Maybe now the kids are a bit older and we can find more time for that music. And yeah, you can find it on Spotify and SoundCloud as well.
Do you have other projects apart from this song that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I have another singing project that we're almost finished with my beautiful sister Virginia. We started this also because she's also a busy mom. We started this a year and a half ago, and hopefully we're almost there, and it's going to come out soon. So that's going to be a nice surprise.
Can you tell us more details?
Yeah, it's actually like it's not one song, it's a 12-minute journey. Of a kind of it's an umbanda medley of songs. So it's a few songs together that go one into another and become one piece, one journey. And we've had a really nice producer in Israel, and so yeah, that's gonna come soon.
Is it gonna make us dance?
Maybe a part of it, just a small part in the middle. But then I actually love that part, so I was thinking we should make that longer, maybe later. I don't know. It's just it's a different kind of piece because it's not one song. It's a journey. But I don't want to say more because it's a surprise.
I am so surprised as well. She doesn't tell me these things. And I just want to add that I definitely love Lou Azul so much that I cannot stop to listen, not just because it's my daughter did it, but because I just love it. It touched my heart so deeply and make my humor better. So I always put when I am a little sad or stressed. And I wish with all my heart that this woman can do many more from now on. Okay.
Thank you both of you for sharing yourselves, your stories, and your loving vibration with the listeners.
Yeah, I would also like just to say thank you for having us here today. And also thank you to my mom for... you know, it's been a very special journey to create this life together in not only, you know, usually a mother gives birth and then once the kids are older and big, you know, we start our journey and we, of course, we're always connected to our parents. But to actually then live so close and work together, I think has brought so much to my life. And also inspiration for my kids, I hope. I hope that I can work with them in the same way that we have worked together.
Thanks so much for sharing this loving connection that you both have with us. At the end of each episode, I ask three questions to every guest, and you can reply with one or a couple of words. Let's go for the questions. What brings you in alignment with yourself?
Actually, when I cook, I feel in alignment with myself. I feel happy. When I am in the garden, I feel happy and all. When I am with my granddaughter, grandson, my daughter, my family, I feel happy and alignment. yeah, the, all the rest is not so important.
And Muji?
For me, my children bring me in alignment with myself, because I have to be present and bring me back to myself. And nature. Yes.
What enhances your creativity?
The joy to share, and also I just want to say something. What is a very good inspiration for me is to see Ibisenko people more and more coming to our restaurant, and this makes me so happy that they inspire me to do it even better and even better. And
flowers, I think flowers really inspire me and make me happy, and also my beautiful friends, and again nature inspires me a lot, the ocean, the light, this island.
Last question, which is your favorite practice for self-nourishment?
Well, for sure meditation, when I really stop my mind and stop my body and do a deep breath and just coming back in where I am in this moment. Because thanks, I more and more recognize when I am in my mind and in my thought. And so more and more I can just stop wherever I am, doesn't matter. I can be in the kitchen in Paloma, I can be with myself in the house, I can be in the middle of conflict, fighting with somebody, I can be in the beauty of the nature. I more and more practice this, and this is for me the golden key that I want to practice more and more and more, you know, as possible.
Singing, for sure. Gardening and collecting roses. I love roses. And doing handstands with you, Ayana. And being playful. And yeah, playful and going back to simplicity. This is where I...